Gold Hills Church of Christ. I can't remember what city that's in.
Gold Hill Road.
Gold. That word from our sponsor. No, just, I'm sorry, that was bad. Thank you very much. It was, boy, they had a schedule and a time, and everything was, boy, at 9 o'clock they do this, at 9:10 they do that. And boy, Mr. Farr, is he a doctor, Farr? I don't know. Mr. Farr, boy, he runs a tight ship. It was awesome. And aside from that, it was really good. The speakers were great. I encourage it next year. Hopefully, we'll go again next year. If they do it again next year, they are talking about the 24th annual one. And if you get a chance to go, I strongly encourage it. It was very uplifting. And one of the reasons I mention it is next week, I will not be teaching the class. I'm not leading the class. Mr. Joe Wells will be. And my opinion is that I'm not used for him sinking back over there. You're going to be in for a real treat. Mr. Joe Wells did a really good job, and I found myself uplifted. Okay, you're making me nervous, Brian. All right. Too many times. Okay. All right, sorry. So anyway, I'm just putting in a plug for next week. If you got plans for next week, change them. Because Joe Wells is going to be really good to listen to. I think he's going to be an excellent speaker for our spring revival. Okay, before I begin, do we have any prayer requests? Yes, Brian.
So we had two baptisms last week.
Oh.
So we had Sarah was baptized on Wednesday afternoon. And then Jonathan, which is Jody's son, which is her fiance, was baptized at midnight Wednesday.
Oh, okay. So both of them baptized Wednesday. Outstanding.
But, so celebrate those.
Anybody else? No? Okay. I do want to continue to say, offer thanks for Jonathan for what he's going through. He's still working on getting the medication squared away. Still not quite there. Still having other issues. But at least he hasn't had a seizure for the past couple of weeks. So that is definitely something to be very thankful for. All right. If you'll join me in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the weather that we have today, for the rain that waters the grass and the plants and that keeps the air clean and helps us with Well, it helps me with breathing, Father. I am certainly grateful for the rain that knocks that pollen out of the air. Father, I also want to say thank you so much and for the recent baptisms of Sarah and Jonathan, Father. And we ask that you bless them as they start on this Christian journey and that you help especially Jody and the other members here at the congregation to reach out to these young Christians and help them to understand the path that they are on now, Father, and help them along their way, Father, because we are a family, and we are your family, and we are your children, all of us. Thank you, Father, for the other blessings that you bestow on us, both physical and spiritual, Father, and I ask that you be with us as we study your word today, and we study this parable, and bless the words that we all speak, and that we're all able to learn something we can take from this and apply to our lives, Father, and we ask that you be with us always, Father, and guide our hearts, and guard our spirits, Father, praise your Son's holy name. Amen. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about the parable of the sowers. Now, you'll find the parable of the sowers in Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, and Luke chapter 8. Now, I have made my notes, and what did we learn last week? It was last week. What did we learn that was unique about John in relation to parables?
There aren't any.
Good. Somebody's paying attention. No, I'm sorry. So I say that because halfway through my notes, I kept referring to John. So I think I scrubbed it all out. But if you hear me say this is in John, remember, my brain doesn't always act like it should. I'm talking about Luke. If I say John, I was very careful. But if I do that, somebody raise their hand and let me know that that I'm reading from my notes and not from reality. Okay, so I'm going to just go ahead and read through the three different accounts, and I'm going to read through it fairly quickly, and then we'll go back and we'll actually start discussing these. Okay, so Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. "And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened, as he sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no roots, it withered away. And some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Okay, Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 4. "And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. Okay, so what strikes you when you hear these three together? Luke is short, is he not? Boy, he doesn't waste any time. He's the Reader's Digest version. That is absolutely true. Short and sweet and to the point. And that's going to be interesting because even though he is short and sweet and to the point, he actually gives us a different perspective. There are some things that are different in Luke that I thought was very interesting, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But thank you for that. Yes, absolutely. Luke was short. Anybody else? Okay, so I'm going to say it a little bit differently, but the same. the sower is more of a descriptive of what he was doing and not necessarily a job title. Is that around the same thing what you're saying? Yeah, that is very interesting because I don't want to get too deep into this right now. But I'm just going to say we're all kind of sowers, are we not?
Supposed to be.
Supposed to be. Supposed. Okay.
He was even discriminating about where he cast the seed.
Say that again, Jody. I'm sorry.
He threw the seed everywhere.
Okay, so that's interesting. It says, Jody points out that he threw the seed everywhere. That's actually going to be, when we start making applications, that's going to be something that we're really going to have to discuss. Oh, y'all are getting too far ahead of my notes. This may be a short class. No, it's an excellent point that you're making. You're going out into all the world. You're sowing everywhere. Even in places where you don't expect it to be great, he's still sowing. So here's the question that I have, and this is, I don't think you're going to find this in the scriptures anywhere. So this is something just to think about, right? Does it sound like he is being discriminatory on where he's sowing it?
Nope.
Because I think that pretty much covers everything, right? Good soil, stony soil, packed soil, which is the wayside, right? That means road, path, route. It's somewhere where people are constantly walking and pack that stuff down. Ain't no soil going, ain't no seed going to grow there. You wouldn't think. And what did I leave out?
Grass grows in concrete.
Did I leave out rocky? I think I left out rocky soil. Say again?
Grass grows out of concrete. So I don't
That's an interesting point. Okay. All right. So let me see. So some things that are interesting. Matthew and Mark are pretty close, right? You could almost pick up one and look at the other. Luke, on the other hand, was much more different and much more, I use the word succinct, right? He just wanted to get a point across and then to send that. One of the things that the author pointed out is in both Matthew and Mark, Jesus says, "Behold." Now, when you're saying "behold," what are you saying?
Listen. To listen.
Well, behold the baptistry.
Look at.
Ah, look at that. Okay, so I said, excuse the theatrics. So I said that to point out the fact that keep in mind that Jesus was at the seashore, right? And he was looking out, and there's people back there. And people had come out of what? Their villages and the cities, right? So people back then lived in the villages and the cities, and they had their farming outside the villages and the cities. Now, this is speculation, so put it in the speculation category. Could it be possible that when Jesus was speaking, he was pointing at somebody that was up there actually doing that work? So that he got a good visual. Now, here's what strikes me, and it's a little bit different, but still in the boat speaking. I'm here to tell you, if you have a picture of the Lord Jesus being a weak person and timid of voice, have you ever been on a seashore? I've been on a seashore. I do not think I could stand in a boat 1 foot from shore and speak where they term it as a great multitude. At least twice. I can't remember. I don't think Luke says a great multitude. No, Luke. No, that's Mark. No, all three say the same thing. Great multitude of people. Now, I don't know what that number is, but I'm pretty confident it's over 20. Right? So he spoke to a great multitude of people, and they were able to hear him and understand him when he told these stories. That tells me a lot about Jesus. Now, I know that's not directly related to the parable, but an interesting thing to think about. Now, this is interesting, but it's not really important, I don't think. Luke leaves out the location. He doesn't really talk about where they are. He leaves out the boat and the fact that Jesus said many things. Matthew and Mark, they provide the fact that there was more than just one or two parables spoken at that point. Jesus is speaking about providing multiple parables. All right, I've got. When describing the seed cast by the wayside, Luke says something different. He said it was trampled. The other two gospels do not talk about it being trampled. Well, why would that be something that is that you think he would say? Why is the significance of it being trampled?
People.
Say again?
People walking along.
Other influences.
I think that's more along the lines of the thorns, but we'll get to that. Right.
Being run over.
Is there? So where my brain's going with that is there is a disregard for it. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? When you walk across your grass, you're trampling your grass. So there's not a lot of value on that grass that you're putting. You're not worried about it. There's no, but if you put a bunch of, I don't know, I want to say glasses. I hate to say that, but I wear reading glasses. My reading glasses are sitting on the floor. I'm not going to trample on my reading glasses. I hate to use that as an example, but but that's the point, is that there's no value for the word that was spread on the wayside. I'm going to get back to you, Jody. Go ahead. Careless hearing. Oh, I like that translation. So, yes, okay, careless hearing. Now, that actually puts it on the listener or the hearer, does it not? That's an interesting point.
Plant seed.
It's like people going into the Walmart store and people on the outside hanging on pamphlets, and you just walk by. You may take it or you may not, but you just really ignore them.
So Jody offers the example of people who are, he said, a certain store, who are out there handing you pamphlets, you know, and 9 times out of 10, I walk by them, pretend like I don't notice them. I hate to say it. But a lot of people do that. You don't value that information. But I do like the translation that says careless hearing. Let's see. Okay, so Luke points out, so the seed that was tossed or sown on the rocky soil said it lacked moisture. What do you think Luke is trying to tell us with that, or what does that mean to you when you hear that Luke's saying it lacked moisture? Okay.
That continuing nourishment of the seed.
That's what I was looking for. Continuing nourishment. Now, I'm going to go out there and say that I think that many of us are sometimes different soils. I don't think in my life I can say I've always been this soil or that soil. I've been in different places in my life. That is probably one of the most important aspects of why that people who have a rocky soil on their soil, why they have trouble, right? Because they're not nourishing themselves. And where do we get nourishment from?
The Word.
Thank you, the Word. That is where you've got to open the Bible. You've got to do some reading and studying and challenge yourself. And that's how you get nourishment. But why? So, as an aside, why would Luke point this out whereas the other ones might not? Why would you think so?
Luke's a doctor.
Thank you. That's exactly what the first thing I thought of. Colossians 4:14, Luke, the beloved physician. He's referred to as... So, I don't know if there's other scriptures to back up the fact that Luke was a physician. Okay, all right. So, I kind of put you on the spot. I apologize for that. But... it is commonly accepted that Luke was a physician, very scientifically oriented. You can find that elsewhere in his in Luke, so I'm not going to belabor that point too much, except to point out that more than likely he's looking at it from the scientific point of view, right? Needs nourishment. The other two didn't talk about that, right? They just said, well, it didn't have roots, and so it withered and died when the sun came out. Okay, so I found that very interesting. So before we start talking about Jesus' explanation, does anybody have any more comments on the actual Proverbs, parables, and comparing them?
He's talking about the trampled soul they're talking about here. To me, that trampled soul says that every seed you plant, talking about us, is not going to make anything, but one might find its way into that trampled soil. If you get one...
You know... I know you're right, I didn't think about that too much, and we may actually come back on that a little bit. But it, there's a very, very, very important point, and I think three of you guys actually hit on this point. And it's something that, that applied to the disciples at that time that has some bearing on us today. So we're going to come back to that. I promise you. Well, I think we're going to come back to that. We'll see. We'll see. All right. So now as far as Jesus' explanation of this parable, I'm going to break it down one at a time, and I'm going to read from each of the three Gospels. So I want to compare what he says about each of these different soil types. So the intro, Matthew says, "Therefore hear the parable of the sower," and then he steps right into it. Mark says, "How do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? The sower sows the word." Now before he gets into his parable, Mark gives a little, it almost sounds like a scolding, does it not? So when I first read it, did you hear what I did with my voice? I put it in, it's, if I was speaking this, I'm scolding them. Is it not possible that Jesus, the ultimate teacher, was actually saying, pay attention to what I'm telling you here. He says, how do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? He's giving them a clue right here. Pay attention to what I'm about to tell you, because this is something that you can use when you are looking at other parables. Okay. Again, I belabored this last week, but what we say parables are, our easy definition, earthly stories with heavenly message. Okay. So. Okay, sorry. Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 8, and Luke chapter 4.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
I think it's Mark 4 or Luke 8.
Yes. What he said. Okay, I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, I'm going to correct my notes, and Luke chapter 8. I was so proud of myself for remembering. Thanks, Brian. So, okay, so, and Luke provides, he says, know the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. So Luke pretty much goes right into it. But he points out that the seed is the word of God. So in all three cases, we get some information from Jesus as a lead-in. So,
brother,
yes, ma'am.
Oh.
We need to remember there are four Gospels.
Yes.
And who are they writing to? Overall, we believe that the Spirit guided, but at the same time, I believe Matthew had the Jews in mind.
Okay.
Mark had the Romans in mind. Luke, we miss it in our English, but in the Greek, either Luke was a doctor or he was well-versed with the medical field of that day. But we missed that in our English. But in the original, he uses medical terms.
Okay. So.
And then John comes along and says, doesn't matter whether you were a Jew, a Roman, or Greek, or Gentile. You need, all of us need Christ. Doesn't matter what your background.
Okay. So just to recap. Harry is pointing out the important fact or consideration that the four Gospels are written by four different men who had four different purposes to the Gospels that they wrote, or at least I would say themes maybe. And I'm glad you pointed that out, because I actually had it in my notes, and I did not mention this, or maybe it's later. But it's important to note that we're going to see differences from one gospel to the next. And it's not that they have one of them has a story wrong, or they couldn't get the story straight. It's that they're giving us different perspectives or different pieces of the conversation. And sometimes when we read those together, we can actually piece something together that's really interesting, which I'm going to bring about later. We'll talk about a couple of points where you're going to piece together and you're going to say, that's really interesting. But to summarize, Matthew was writing to the Jews. Mark seems to be writing to the Romans. Luke is a doctor, and a lot of the terms that he uses in the Greek are medical. Did I say that right? Okay, are medical. And John, now what I read, John's called the Gospel of Love. I've heard people call it that. And John is spends a lot of time talking more about the miracles of Jesus. I believe there's more miracles in John than the others.
Well, it's not that there's more. There's actually less miracles, but he picks out seven specific miracles.
Okay.
Okay,
so there's not more, but there's seven specific ones that they spend
John,
time on.
The key is understanding he wrote late first century. He's one of the last books. And so he's writing with already about 60 years of Christianity. And so he's looking backwards. And so he's not writing to... I think his gospels deal more with false doctrine and confronting mysticism.
Okay, we're getting
to Thursday.
Okay. Brian says come Thursday for that. Okay. So I apologize. I didn't mean for us to get into study of the Gospels. So let's get back on the parables. Okay. So let's talk about... okay. You know what? Go ahead, Jody.
Why he gave the miracles of Proverbs, because of the fact that it was for them to understand, but not for everybody.
Okay, yeah.
First back to the prophecy of Isaiah about how they will see but not see and hear and not hear.
So Jody is, what's the word I'm looking for? When you're repeating something from last week, he's reviewing, that's right, he's recapping one of the points from last week, which was, that the purpose, what did we say it was? Reveal,
conceal, prophecy,
and fulfill.
And I would use application.
And okay, application. Okay, we should always apply. I'm going to argue with that one. Okay, so the wayside, the soil. The first soil is the wayside soil. Matthew says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Mark says, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes directly and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Luke says, those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Okay, so what are some things that you see as far as similarities there? Obviously, the devil. That's an interesting point. Now, in my translation, they each use a different term. Did your translation do the same thing? Now, we all know he's talking about the same being, right? He's talking about the wicked one, and Mark actually names him Satan, and... Luke actually describes him, uses the descriptive, the devil. That's not his name, but it is descriptive. So that was that. I'm not sure that's important. I just found that interesting, is that they, all three of them, who are talking about the same being, right, use different terms.
Outside forces that would destroy your ability to hear.
Okay. All right. outside of voices that would avoid it. I think that comes more on the rocky soil. I mean, not the rocky soil, but the weeds, the thorns. But it's still the same thing. And the same concept is that something from outside is acting on the person.
But
because the person did not understand. He did not understand. And did not, Luke says, did not hear. So what was Jesus saying? These people were hearing, but do not, they have ears to hear, but they do not hear. They do not understand. They do not perceive. They do not recognize. So the people who are on the, who are the path, who are the road, who are the wayside, you know, I don't even think they understand that they were just given the word of life, the opportunity, salvation. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying when I hear this.
They heard, but they didn't understand. I mean,
didn't understand.
In a different language that you don't speak, you just don't understand. You still hear it. You just don't know what it said.
So what happens to that word? What did it say? Trampled, it's snatched. That's an interesting word. It's snatched. It's violently taken from them. It is removed from them so that they will not believe and be saved. So in this first example, these are people who are not saved, who did not believe. Right? Now that's going to be important later on. I mean, you'll see what I'm talking about here in a little bit. So we already talked about wayside, what that means. So is the road affected by the seed that is thrown on it?
Is the road affected?
Road's not changed at all. It's not like it's going to grow. Now, point out, to your point, yes, I guess some seed does get between the cracks and grows up.
That's why you continue to sow it.
Right, but to this example that's being provided here, it's not. As a matter of fact, one of the Gospels even say the birds came and devoured it. It's just gone. Okay. So interesting point is that Luke says, lest they should believe and be saved. Now all my religious neighbors out there, be careful what I say, what you hear, but what I'm going to say. What type of belief leads to salvation? Is it just, I believe, I'm saved? Okay.
You got to put belief.
Based on the Word of God. Say again?
You got to put belief in that.
That's what I was looking for.
You know, it's kind of like calling someone. If you don't know the phone number, you're not going to call them. It's the same thing with getting them to heaven. If you don't know the recipe or whatever you want to call it to get there, then you're not getting there.
Right. James chapter 2, verse 17, right? Faith without works is? Whew, it's so dead.
It's the faith of Abraham.
That's actually in my notes here. Yes. Faith of Abraham. Because he didn't just hear, he didn't just understand what was expected of him, he acted.
We sometimes sing trust and obey.
Yes, trust and obey. Isn't there a song like that? I remember a song. So Abraham was an example that actually James used.
If we really believe, we'll obey.
Amen. If we really believe, we'll what?
Obey.
Obey, absolutely,
or
yes.
It'll be an action.
Okay. Oh, sorry, just scratching, my bad. Okay, so some other, I also looked at Noah. That actually came up at the men's fellowship yesterday, and it's an excellent point. Did Noah believe that God was going to destroy the earth?
Yes.
Did Noah believe that God was going to deliver him?
Yes.
Did Noah build the ark anyway? Yes, because God told him, you need to build this ark. It wasn't like God just said, I'm going to deliver you. And so God just kind of held him up above the waters. And, you know, I guess God's God. He could have done that. But that's not what God did. God told Noah, I got to be careful.
There's something expected of him.
Say it again.
There was something expected even of Noah.
There was something expected of him.
It was specific the way it had to be built. But if he had built anything in that other than the directions that God gave him, I believe the ark would have sunk.
So, faith and action.
Yes.
That is what leads you to salvation. And there's a lot more to it than that. I don't want to make this a class on that. But I wanted to make sure that we understood that is so much more than just believing, because even the devils believe. Even the demons believe. Okay, second soil. I call it the stony soil, right? Not very clever. Okay, Matthew says, but he who received the word on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Mark says, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground. When they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure for only a time. Afterward, when tribulation and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now, Luke says, but the one on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. That's interesting. So, let's start. Similarities. Well, obviously, it's, right?
All accept it with joy.
Say again?
All three accept it with joy.
All of them enjoy, said joy, and one of them said gladness, right? Joy and gladness. How many of us, I mean, really, how many of us, when we became Christians, just felt joy?
Would you ready to go change the world?
I felt relief. Joy. That joy, though, is not self-sustaining. And it does not, it may make you feel good, but you need something else. And what is that? Oh, my notes. Oh, no, sorry. That's not the answer. Ah, the word of God.
So many times we obey the gospel, come up out of the water feeling gladness. I know I did. I began to cry like a baby, and out of joy. And in that moment, I say, Lord, please don't allow me to lose this joy. But it takes you applying yourself to God's word. And one of the scriptures that I remember when I first started reading, that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Yeah.
We are not going to give you the bums rush on this and go through it quickly. I'm going to finish this up in 2 weeks. I want to finish this point, though, because that's an excellent point. What he says here, what Jesus says, is they have no roots where?
Within
themselves.
Yeah.
They have no roots within themselves. And the way that you build roots within yourself is this right here.
Amen.
The Word of God. Because you have got to feed your... You can't just be happy all the time. Happy all the time is great. My wife is awesome. She's always happy. Okay? I'm not a happy person. I try to be. I try to enjoy the grace and the love that God gave us and addressed us with, I'm going to put it like that, to give us the opportunity for salvation, right? But I have to feed my soul.
To me, this is one of the... They're all sad, the three that fall short. But this one's really sad to me because this is one I've seen, and probably others have, over and over again, where someone obeys the gospel, you're in the midst of all that joy, but over time you see people fall.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me think about what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2. I'll just summarize it, but he's talking about, you know, 2 Peter 2, 20 through the end of the chapter. He says, For if after we've escaped the defilement of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. To know you attain to the blood of Jesus and then to have fallen short, that to me is so incredibly sad. And of course, he goes on to comparing it to a sow who, after being cleaned, goes back into the mud and wallows in it. Or the other more disgusting image of a dog returning to its vomit.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
It's such a sad thing to watch Christians who fall back into their old life. That old man wakes up and they can't put him back to death.
I 100%. Question, what can we do as mature or more mature Christians to help with that? Say again.
Encourage them.
Okay, encouragement.
Leave them alone.
That's what I was looking for. And it goes along with encouragement. You can't just leave them alone.
You've got to continue to teach them. Jesus said, baptizing, teaching them to observe. They get baptized, they're saved, they are happy. They're not knowledgeable enough to maintain that on their own.
They're babes when they're first baptized.
Babes.
Babe in Christ. See, I mean, you've got to treat them.
They don't know enough, right? Yeah. That's what you're saying, Jody, right? They need that constant nourishment. And you can help them with that. And we can help them with that.
All that. And I think that's all right. But there's another element to this. In the example, he's not talking about a lack of knowledge.
Right.
It's the things they dealt with before continue to be temptations.
Oh.
Those don't just go away because people become Christians. That's a continuous fight. That's what Romans 7 is all about to me. And it's interesting, Romans 7 is written right after Romans 6, when he talks about the new birth. We need to help people learn, no doubt. But we also need to help to be there to support them when they fall. Because they're going to fall.
Yeah.
Know them enough, that's what was on my mind. You have to know them enough, take time to get to know them enough, to know what their struggles are, what their struggles are going to be, where you need to help them, what you need to keep an eye out for, where teaching needs to start to help through those initial, years of where that big struggle is going to be.
So you're saying you can't use cookie cutter, pithy little hang in there kind of stuff? Yeah, I think you're right.
Certain things without caring about them.
Well,
Galatians 6, 1 and 2 tell us all that right off.
Say that again.
Galatians 6, 1 and 2 says, brothers, if someone's caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore them gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. It goes on and on, but it's basically telling us, you guys need to be watching out for each other, helping each other stay where you need to be.
All right. Thank you, Doug. Thank you all for conversation. I will pick this up in 2 weeks. Hopefully we'll get further than two verses. No, I'm kidding. And next week, come back for Joe Wells. And I'm really looking forward to that. So unless there are any other questions or comments before we depart. All right, we're dismissed. Stick around for worship.